Radio Daily for halfway day. And yeah, it's another day where I'm still fighting with a server. I swear, it's not the IP, it's not my IP address is blocked, it's not. So if you know, if you got anything, let me know. Weird. So yes, I'm having to drive to work before I can post the show, so sorry about the little bit of a lateness, but we'll get by it, we usually do. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, and when I say we, you know I don't mean that, because you haven't heard somebody say, it's not my fault about the server. You haven't heard that yet. And that is because of this weird, crazy schedule at the moment. We're having to do things a little differently, which means I am here with you alone, the wonderful Billy Flynn. Really alone when you're here. 1783, the first hot air balloon ascent flies unmanned for 10 minutes. It was constructed by the French brothers Joseph Michael and Jacques Etienne Montgolfier at their hometown of Annonay, France. And thank you, Monty Python, for teaching me that. 1833, Ada Bryan, who will later become the Countess Lovelace, meets computer pioneer Charles Babbage in England. Byron will later become known for writing a description of Charles Babbage's early mechanical general-purpose computer, the analytical engine. 1924, Ernst Alexanderson transmits the first facsimile messages across the Atlantic Ocean. Yes, it was spam. 1938, the first machine in history to produce intelligible speech-like sound is exhibited by Bell Telephone scientist Homer Dundley, Richard Reyes, and Stanley Watkins, called Pedro the Voter. It is put on display to the public at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Vode for Pedro. 1939, the film The Wizard of Oz is first screen-tested. 1977, JVC introduces the Video Home System, VHS, video cassette, that's what that stands for, in North America at a press conference before the CES in Chicago. The system is called VidStar. The format's recorder, the VCR, will cost $1,280, and individual blank tapes will cost $20. And you tell the kids of today that. 1978, Taito introduces the classic arcade game Space Invaders in Japan. 91, NASA launches the Space Shuttle Columbia on a 9-day mission to place the Space Lab module into orbit. The mission marks the first time in history three women have been in space at the same time. 1995, astronaut Norman Thagard sets a new space endurance record of 84 days, 1 hour, 16 minutes, during the course of his stay aboard the Russian space station, Mir. 1998, the Associated Press, routers, and other news services relate the news that comedian Bob Hope has passed away. They send this all over the internet, and it turns out to not be true. We've always had to verify every bit of information, especially the internet. 2000, Nevada becomes the first U.S. state to vote to legalize online gambling. However, it doesn't immediately take effect since it's still banned under federal law, but the government. 2006, at 9 a.m., Google launches an online spreadsheet application that will eventually become part of its Google Docs internet suite. 2012, the last transit of Venus of the 21st century begins. Birthdays, Eliza Whale is 42 from Dragonfly, Smiley, How to Get Away with Murder. Chad Allen is 45 from My Two Dads, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and on St. Elsewhere, he connected every TV show in the universe. Mark Wahlberg is 49 from Three Kings, The Happening, The Other Guys, Wahlbergers. Ron Livingston is 53 from Office Space, Defying Gravity, which was incredible, Vacation, and more things that we should see. Jeff Garland is 58, Cyclops and the Spy Who Shagged Me, Daddy Daycare, Toy Story 3. No longer with us, born in 1646, Elena Coronado Piscopia, Italian mathematician and philosopher. In 1678, she becomes the first woman in the world to receive a Ph.D. 1899, Otis Barton, an American diver, engineer, and actor, designed the bathysphere. 1905, Wayne Boring, the uncredited illustrator for Action Comics, number one. 1919, Richard Scarry, an American-Swiss author and illustrator who created Busy Town. 1961, Mary Kay Bergman, Dr. Blind on Captain Planet, Batgirl on Batman the Animated Series, and until her death was every single woman in the show South Park. Like all of them, even at the same time. They record your voice at different times. CBS, New Amazing Race, NCIS, The Cases They Can't Forget, and a rerun of SWAT. Over on ABC, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live, the NBA Countdown, and then the NBA Finals. Two teams are playing. I don't know who. NBC, it's New American Ninja Warrior. Then Tom and Damien turn to Cassie for help when a woman and her young son mysteriously disappear on The In-Between. Fox, it's MasterChef Celebrity Family Showdown. Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back, which kind of sound both the same to me. CW, it's a new My Last Days and a new Jane the Virgin. Still, Freeform, Zoe is left to deal with the aftermath of getting caught cheating on her exam, including getting cut off financially by her parents on a new Gronish. That's what happens when you use the Exxon card too much, kids. It's for emergencies only. AMC, U.S. Marshals, the other fugitive. FX, Days of Future Past. FXX, the crew of the salvage ship Seamus provides entertainment for Bort while Barry Six tries to crack Captain Archer's safe, not a euphemism, on a new Archer. FXM 13 Hours, Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, BBC America, Troy. Paramount's got the 2019 CMT Music Awards, which may or may not have been on before already. Again, I don't know. Sci-Fi Channel, they'll be showing Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Well, Real Steel's what they call it, but come on, it's Rock'em Sock'em Robots. They're rocking, they're socking, and they're robots. TNT is showing Kong Skull Island, getting you ready for the Godzilla Kong movie that is coming. Science Channel, Extreme Railroads, Rise of the Hyperloop on a new Impossible Engineering. But we're watching the Hallmark Channel. When a couple decides to get married, the wedding preparations turn to chaos due to the upcoming release of the bride's debut album. Friction between the couple's parents, the growing guest list, overwhelming tasks, and old conflicts. Kelly Pickler and Wes Brand are going to have a wedding at Graceland.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When fellow Officer Will is shot in the line of duty, Brady takes it personally and presses a reluctant Abe to assign him to the case. Sonny claims to have witnessed the shooting and says he'll testify in court. Chad and JJ continue their investigation into the murder of the 11-year-old, and the two become frustrated with each other when nothing new develops. JJ requests a new partner, but Abe refuses. John gets ready for a date with Claire. Way to step outside your comfort zone. Gabby, Stefan, and Eric uncover information that helps advance several outstanding homicide cases, including the one about Marlena, who suspected of killing her husband for insurance money so she could go out and have herself a ball. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Do you mind? I want to check my email.
And let's do that now. Are Chad and Abby in Grandview, which is where the Ghost Whisperer takes place? I hope I picked up on the JLH reference correctly. Well, no, I'm sorry. That was kind of a red herring and a silly joke because there was a ghost. In the episode we talked about, there was a ghost. The officer spoke to the ghost. But I'm going to go ahead and help you. It's not the Ghost Whisperer. It's really not. And the ghost, they come to her just because they like her. She's so understanding and listens so well. If you've got an idea of where Chad and Abby are, if you know what the hell's wrong and why I can't get into the server, any of that info, just let us know. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can explain it in great detail simply by dialing the magical voicemail number of
510-GRD-CROW.
I'll even help you out. And it wasn't Jennifer slept here either.
The Ideas Start Here podcast is a science-based, informative, entertaining view on immunizations and general health-related topics. Featuring me, your host, Jack Mankin.
But each flu season, get shots for a good reason.
Measles at the school. Measles.
Number one, I was like, you know what, you should be exercising.
Hey, you kids, stop playing with that cowpox.
We didn't even talk about polysaccharide vaccines.
Thank you.
No, it was a good speech. I liked it.
If they knew that was going to happen, they would have vaccinated, but they didn't know.
Winter is coming.
My mom was like, you're getting a shot. And I was like, what?
Gotta make sure they vaccinate.
Panda plague.
It was not the panda plague.
She got it from panda bears.
Subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Or listen directly on your phone, computer, or any other device from the website www.stchealth.com.
Looks like you got the flu. Looks like you just got the flu.
The Ideas Start Here podcast.
Hi, this is James O'Barra, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Both of you are.
Which is two. Which is not quite three, the magic number, but it's more than one. Although it is the loneliest number since the number one.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
And it's time to see what's going to be available, and we head ourselves on down to the local neighborhood comic shop over at DC. It's Dog Days of Summer, number one. Doomsday Clock, 10 of 12. This one's really trippy. If you thought the other... Oh, my God. Heroes in Crisis wraps up its 9, and then Bruce Wayne wakes up in Arkham Asylum, young, sane, and was never Batman. So begins this sprawling tale of the Dark Knight as he embarks on a quest through a devastated DC landscape, featuring a massive cast of familiar faces. As he tries to piece together the mystery of his past, he must unravel the cause of this terrible future and track down the unspeakable force that destroyed the world as he knew it. It's Batman, Last Night on Earth, one of three. Over at Marvel, Immortal Hulk number 18, which is a spoiler, Marvel Spider-Man City at War 3 of 6, Star Wars the original Marvel Years number 108, and The Ruination of X-Men Revisited. Relive the now classic storylines like Mutant Massacre and The Fall of Mutants with appearances by Longshot, Cable, and the Marauders in X-Men Grand Design Extinction 1 of 2. Over at Dynamite Entertainment, Peter Cannon Thunderbolt, Boom Studios, Lumberjanes, Somewhere That's Green, number 1, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 39, and Smooth Criminal, 6 of 12. But there is a man who walks between two worlds, a vampire cursed with a soul. He spent centuries battling back the forces that would destroy humanity in an attempt to redeem himself for the crimes committed by the monster he was when he was first turned. But now, when the trail of the most recent demonic uprising takes him to Sunnydale, he realizes that the redemption he seeks can only come at a startling price. As he gets closer to redemption, the full truth of his horrific past as Angelus will be revealed, and there may be no way to escape the darkest secret of all, an angel. Number 1. From Titan Comics, Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor, number 8. Life is Strange, number 5. IDW Publishing, Dick Tracy, Forever, 2 of 4. Punk's Not Dead, London Calling, number 4. Star Trek Year 5, number 2. Over at American Mythology Productions. Something evil is festered into the soil itself of a newly constructed canyon community as a wave of demons turn simple farming folk into bloodthirsty, vile fiends. And Zorro must find a way to end the corruption and send those foul spirits back to the netherworld. Can even the incredible swordsman stand against the blackest of supernatural forces when the entity has the power to infest the holiest of sites, the Mission Church itself? Find out in Zorro Sacrilege, number 1. Over at Valiant, it's Punk Mambo 2 of 5, Bloodshot Rising Spirit number 7, Forgotten Queen number 4, Dark Horse Bad Luck Chuck 3 of 4, Hellboy vs. Lobster Johnson in the Ring of Death number 1, which would have been a much better movie than what we got, Mystery Science Theater 3000 number 6, and a teenage girl with precognitive abilities has struggled through a lifetime of exploitation only to end up the pawn of a government agency that wants to harness her powers for its own end. You've seen the show, but this is your first glimpse of the strangeness that happened before the series in Stranger Things 6. Number 1. Oni Press has Rick and Morty number 50, Image Black Science 40, Spawn 297, and it Danger Zone! You got Danger Doll Squad presents Amalgama Lives number 3, Dan Null Fairies number 5, Zombie Tramp number 60, and Chef Nate Wilner's Dinosaur Hunts in an Alternate Dimension reignited his passion for cooking and turned his life around, but traveling through time and space for prehistoric meat has consequences he never imagined. He's damaged another universe, fractured the trust of the people he cares for most, and unleashed a flesh-hungry monster on his hometown. Can Nate and his friends put aside their differences long enough to save Black Fossil in Voracious Appetite for Destruction? Number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Mattel Films, because that's a thing, and Blumhouse Production are developing a film based on the classic 1950s fortune-telling toy, Magic 8-Ball. With Kick-Ass 2 and Truth or Dare director Jeff Wadlow attached to helm and script with collaborators Jillian Jacobs, yep, and Chris Roach, it is decidedly so. The device, as you know, contains, well, as every grammar school kid knows, it has a white 20-sided die in a pure alcohol solution that's blue, and the older kids always said that you could drink it, but my sources say no. Each of the die's 20 faces had a brief message, 10 affirmative, 5 negative, and 5 non-committal. Ask a yes or no question, then read the reply through a window on the ball's bottom. Will I be famous? Reply hazy, try again. Every time! The project marks Mattel Films' first partnership with an independent studio. Universal and Paramount were previously linked to this project in 2006 and 2010. Mattel Films is also developing features based on the Barbie, Hot Wheels, Masters of the Universe, American Girl, and Viewmaster brands. And I can't wait for their shared universe, but really, can Blumhouse continue the trend of making effective horror movies out of things that are not scary at all? Don't count on it. Outlook not so good. Crossovers. They can be fun. I mean, Batman and Turtles taking down pizza together? So fun. So, the comic series Django Zorro scratched an itch that we didn't know that we had, and now, oddly enough, is headed to the big screen courtesy of Quentin Tarantino and Gerard Carmichael. Carmichael is writing the script, but it's not exactly sure if Tarantino's going to co-write or if he's going to direct or do anything other than throw money at it. The film is based on the comic sequel to Tarantino's Django Unchained and focuses on the film's lead character teaming up with the legendary Zorro. And I can't wait to see how Zorro fits into the Tarantino-verse. And if there will be a Cisco the Kid cameo. The film will adapt the comic series written by Matt Wagner with art by Esteve Pols that serves as the official sequel to Tarantino's 2012 film Django Unchained. It went something like this. Uniting the gun-blazing Western hero with legendary swordsman of literature, film, and comics, Zorro, set several years after the events of the film, Django again pursues evil men in his role as a bounty hunter. Taking roads of the American Southwest, he encounters the aged and sophisticated Diego de la Vega by sheer chance. He's fascinated by this unusual character, the first wealthy white man he's met who seems totally unconcerned with the color of his skin and who can hold his own in a fight. Django is hired as Diego's bodyguard and soon drawn into a fight to free the local indigenous people from brutal servitude. Learning much from the older man, he discovers that slavery is not exclusive to his people, and he does, as he even dons the mask of Zorro in their mission of mercy. News of the project comes on the heels of the recent revelation that Tarantino has put together a director's cut of Django Unchained and plans to release it sometime after the upcoming Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And yes, the director's cut was in the shape of a Q. Some of you may remember that back in 2017, AM General, the manufacturer of the iconic Humvee, sued Activision over the vehicles being seen and used in the Call of Duty series. That case is still rumbling on, but Activision is now trying to have it dismissed as, quote, nothing less than a direct attack on the First Amendment, which you should never do. I always position a sniper and try to flank the First Amendment so I can challenge it to a flapper dance. As the new filing says, this case is nothing less than a direct attack on the First Amendment right to produce creative works that realistically depict contemporary warfare. AM General LLC, a government contractor that manufactured military vehicles for the U.S. military, seeks to use trademark law to control the mere depiction of those vehicles and defend its fictional Call of Duty video games. The use of purported trademark rights to restrict the content of expressive works is dangerous under any circumstances, but the claims in this case are particularly egregious because they involve a U.S. military vehicle paid for by the American taxpayer and deployed in every significant military conflict for the past 3 decades. Hey, Call of Duty, you do know you're not a documentary, right? Because my history books left out the World War II zombies. Humvees are a fixture of the modern U.S. military and are a logical part of any attempt to tell an authentic story about modern war. Humvees also have cultural and historical significance that has absolutely nothing to do with AMG or the manufacturing process. To allow them to pursue these claims would run direct contrary to the First Amendment and give them a stranglehold on virtually any expressive depiction of 21st century U.S. military history. And Jeep didn't sue. AM responded the same damn day. Activision has made billions of dollars by using AM General's iconic Humvee military vehicle and its distinctive trade dress in 8 Call of Duty video games, numerous ads, 2 toys, and several strategy guides. Activision neither sought nor obtained permission from AM General to do so. Activision's conduct constitutes, among other things, trademark and trade dress infringement under the Lanham Act. Look, in fairness, I always buy a game based on what cars I can't afford to drive in real life. Although I'd still play Halo if I could buy a Chuppa thingy. Now, it's an interesting case, the outcome of which is going to have big ramifications, not just for video games, but TV and film as well. And obviously, neither side wants to lose. Especially since the monetary judgment will be huge, and the loser will be teabagged while 11-year-olds question the moral turpitude of their mothers. After 50 years, Monty Python has officially split up. And John Cleese didn't get upset this time. Stars Terry Gilliam, Michael Palin, Eric Idle, and John Cleese were like, look, when Terry Jones was diagnosed with dementia, maybe we should stop this. And now, though, it's absolutely official because Jones's condition is now so severe, he can no longer talk. Which means I will be going to do karaoke in his honor and singing Traffic Lights. Gilliam said, there's no chance of us doing a reunion. There's only 4 of us left that really function now, and that is not Python, so there's no point. Monty Python sketches, of course, are iconic, have been since the 70s, and over the years, the troupe has staged 6 reunions, most recently in 2014, which was awesome. But in recent years, they have focused on solo projects. So, Mr. Jones, but your words will live on, and we will enjoy them as we have a lovely box of Wizzo chocolates. And I call the Crunchy Frog, which is not a mock frog, because they use no artificial additives or preservatives of any kind. And in more sad news, Paul Darrow, best known to many of us geeks as Care Avon if you prefer, in the criminally underappreciated cult British sci-fi series Blake 7. He's passed away after a short illness at the age of 78. He was in everything, Law & Order UK, The Legend of Robin Hood, classic Doctor Who, twice! He was unit Captain Hawkins in Doctor Who and the Silurians, and in a scene-stealing performance in Time Lash as the sycophantic Tekker in a contest of scenery chewing against Colin Baker's Sixth Doctor. He was an actor's actor with appearances across hundreds of TV shows in his career, which spanned the small screen and even more appearances in theater. But he achieved true cult status forever, appearing in the dark, moody Terry Nation sci-fi series Blake 7, as the morally gray computer expert, Kerr Avon. Originally second in command to Gareth Thomas's Blake, Kerr was a self-serving, cunning scoundrel who fought in Blake's crusade against Servalan and the Tyrannical Federation, not because he believed in the cause, but because he thought he could make money out of it for an easy retirement. Darrow found himself flung into the spotlight, as did his character, when Thomas departed Blake's after just two seasons, taking on the central role for the last 2 years of the show, and quickly becoming a fan favorite, not for just his gray, if not hazy, morality, but his incredibly biting wit. One of the few survivors of Blake Seven's infamous bloodbath of a conclusion, he would go on to reprise his role for Big Finish's series of Blake Seven's audio drama, starting with The Liberator Chronicles in 2012. Our thoughts go out to his friends and his family, and please, do not forget the lesson that he gave us. Figureheads aren't too difficult to come by. Any idiot can be one. GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website, won't you please? It's geekradiodaily.com. And again, if you know what I'm missing with the server thing, hook a brother up, won't you? Hook the GRD world up. Hook up the people. Hook up the geeks, won't you? Send that note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send it in voicemail just by dialing. And we'll get everybody back here tomorrow's.
Awesome, with piss wrapped in poo.
What the hell are you still doing here?
Such a gigantic walking nightmare.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
We basically had five basic characters to start with. We had Wendy, you know, who's basically the most innocent of the characters, except when she killed her teacher, because her teacher had a lost son, so anyway, she was sweet and innocent once.
And then, of course, Kyle's mother. By the way, don't see this filthy, degenerate movie. It will ruin your life and your hair. Anyway. So there was her, who's basically my Aunt Frances. You know, I'm from New York. I love her to pieces. We had Ms. Cartman, who I adore because it's a 1950s housewife who's absolutely perfect, although she is a hermaphroditic crack whore. But anyway, she does make great cookies, you know. So that's a great character that I really was happy about. And we had Ms. Crabtree, the bus driver. Sit down and shut up! You know, so she was great. She was like a drill sergeant. And Kenny's mother, who's basically my version of Bill Clinton, who sounds like she's crying all the time, because she is, because her son dies all the time.